Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney. Joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan, the last airbender, Sax.
Wow.
Ethan, we've got Avatar previews. You've put me in charge of episode titles. How stoked are you for Avatar, the Last Airbender?
Extremely. I mean, I don't want to say I'm not stoked, but I have zero relationship with Avatar, the Last Airbender as intellectual property. So in that sense, I am not, like, at least for, you know, Final Fantasy, I never played the games, but I was at least like, I was
aware
familiar
of the IP.
I had seen Avatar, the Last Airbender. I have not, it's not a part of my lexicon at all. So I will be relying heavily on you and your experience with this franchise because you're in it. Have you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing. Bingo, bango, bongo. We're done. About 3 months ago, Catherine and I watched it, and it was good. Like, if you're, I guess this, I'm a success story for MTG crossovers. I mean,
there,
like,
it is.
I really enjoyed the show, and I think I'm going to enjoy this magic set more for having watched the show. So if you're into cartoons and you want to check out Avatar, the Last Airbender, would recommend it. Two thumbs up. It's a very light cartoon that has lots of, there are like lessons being in the set. It's very appropriate. There's a lot of like, what are those things called? Like fables that have like a story and a moral to them. There are a lot of things like that in the episode. So yeah, and I think they are nailing top-down design on a lot of the cards. For somebody who is, I would not call myself an Avatar, the Last Airbender fan, but as somebody who has seen the show, stuff seems very resonant to me.
Awesome. Yes. So any and all ideas about episode titles, please send them to Ben's P.O. Box, and we'll be sure to incorporate them in future weeks. But today we're looking at previews. We were in a valley, I guess, a UB valley with Spider-Man, the set that shall not be named. And now we're back with preview season for Avatar, the Last Airbender, and hoping that this sort of bounces us back. You know, I'm riding a bit of a high with Power Cube coming to Arena, the 2027 Limited Championships being announced, and it's looking like a good year in 2026 for Limited, and I'm hoping we're going to end that way as well in 2025.
How big of a life upgrade is being able to vintage cube in bed on your phone?
It's really big. I really like it.
It's a huge upgrade. I haven't even streamed yet. I've only had time to do 3 drafts, and all of them have been in my bed. Like, the drafts and the gameplay have all taken place in bed on my phone. It's been awesome.
Yeah. I have a deck currently that's got, like, it's got Talarian Academy, Candelabra to untap it, Displacer Kitten to, like, blink stuff. So it's got, like, ways to do infinite mana, and I'm terrified to play it on my phone.
On your phone in bed. So
I'm a little bit, I'm like, I drafted it on my phone, and I'm like, I don't think I can play this on my phone in case I have like a turn where I draw my entire deck or whatever. So yeah, but I'm really enjoying the Power Cube so far.
Yeah, I also am hyped about Avatar from the cards I've seen so far. I think it seems like there's a lot of cool cards to play with. I mean, early days here, we've got like, what, a third of the set or half the set or whatever, but the mechanics seem cool, and there's lots of interesting cards to talk about in Greater Garbage. I'm excited for the format.
Well, and it seems like, again, as someone who has no relationship with it, but it seems like the color pie lends itself to the sort of elements, Captain Planet-y thing happening with, you know, earth, wind, air, fire. Like, I think all of that is clearly, like, it's easy to map that onto what's happening in the 5 colors.
Yes, they feel like magic cards to me, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's chat a little bit about the Patreon page and then get into the new mechanics. We got the Patreon, folks. If you want to give back, show some love to the show, patreon.com/lordsoflimited is where you go to do that. We've got 2 perks we always want to shout out. One is access to our Discord, which is an excellent community of like-minded limited individuals. So much stuff happening in the Discord in these sort of like months or weeks rather leading up to a new set. But it's really fun to see, like, you know, there's a lot of cube discussion happening, obviously, as people are getting cube curious or people just really diving deep into Power Cube on Arena. There's a lot of, you know, discussions about tournaments in 2026 with the limited champs coming up and people coordinating that. And that's cool to see. There is chat about that NRG tournament that we shouted out and people trying to maybe prep for that a little bit, looking at some EOE sealed pools in these later days of that format. but also just great places to talk about previews and do like practice drafts of a set before it comes out. And we've got Avatar coming out soon, so that's going to be applicable there. And we also have our podcast feed via the Patreon feed, which gets you access to not only this episode a day early ad free, but also access to our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited, where I assume we'll be talking a little bit more about that LOL cube today, which I'm excited to dive into, to seeing where we're at with that this week. So if any of all that sounds of interest to you, head on over to the Patreon page. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming MQ, Tim, Malky, Dustin, Malcolm, Adam, and No Name. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah, cannot say thank you enough. I was actually just reflecting on the difference between teaching and podcasting, and teaching is often a very rewarding but thankless job. And I'm thankful that I have the podcast where we do get a lot of thanks and like positive feedback. Like when we go to events or even just people taking time to send an email or people taking time out of their day to go to patreon.com and like actually pledge money per episode is awesome. Yeah. Like that there are more adults in like the MTG world. And I think adults are generally better at, not that children don't appreciate me as a teacher, but adults are generally better at expressing it. And so when people take the time to do that, it means a lot. So thank you all.
Yeah. All right. Let's dive into some new mechanics. First up, we've got Firebending X. And this says, whenever this creature attacks, you add X red mana, and this mana lasts until the end of combat. So for example, we've got Fire Sages, which is one on a red for a 2/2 uncommon. It has Firebending 1, so it'll add that one red mana when it attacks that'll last until end of combat. And it has an activated ability of one red, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. Now, this is like the Firebending cards, I think, are really interesting because some of them are like this, where it's like, here's a little bit of juice for something that costs more. Some of them are self-contained. There's like one that adds red and makes a clue when it attacks. So like, and clearly you're like, well, I can use that 2 red mana to crack that clue immediately. And then some of them are sort of tacked on to like spells, or you've got like instants or flashback spells that have some firebending aspects to them. This is a really cool mechanic, I think.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. This card's going to be excellent with threat of activation on attacks, good aggressive cards. And the firebending does very much lead itself to the aggressive archetypes in Magic too, where it's like you want a short burst to punch this damage through, and that's what the aggro decks are going to be all about, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, at the base of this, of firebending, is you got to attack to get the thing, so it's going to be an aggressive mechanic.
Next up, we've got Airbend. To airbend a permanent or spell, you exile it. As long as that card remains exiled, its owner may cast it by paying 2 rather than paying its mana cost. So as an example here, we've got Appa, Steadfast Guardian. This is a mythic rare, 2 white for a 3/4 flash flying bison ally. And when Appa enters, airbend any number of other target non-land permanents you control. Whenever you cast a spell from exile, create a 1/1 white ally creature token.
Interesting. So this is like you could flicker some of your opponent's stuff. As I guess it's not even flicker. You could exile some of your opponent's stuff. But then more importantly, like with this having flash, you could flash this in to save something. And then when you cast a spell from exile, you get the 1/1 along with it.
Yeah, I think airbending's cool because it's flexible both ways. It kind of works like blinking your stuff, as we see with Appa here. But it's also going to work to mess with your opponent's stuff and make them have to recast it for 2 mana, like sort of in between bounce and like the white exile effects that we've seen, like on Paolo's Elite Spellbinder card, where it's the 3/1 flyer and you exile a thing, they have to pay 2 more to cast it. Somewhere in the middle of those two worlds, which I think is a very cool mechanic for white.
Next up is Waterbend, which is a cost that includes an amount of mana. And then to pay a waterbend cost, you may pay the specified amount of mana or tap an untapped artifact or creature you control instead. So sort of a combination of convoke and improvise as a way to pay these abilities.
This is Rectangle's the mechanic, baby.
Rectangle's the mechanic. Yeah, we'll see how supported it is, but I'm excited about it in theory. The example card we have is North Pole Patrol, 2 and a blue for a 2/3 uncommon. Tap it to untap another target permanent you control. And then Waterbend 3, tap target creature an opponent controls. I've just decided that like these kinds of cards, I just always love because I feel like there's always you know, it's like Transformers, more than meets the eye to these kinds of cards. Like Nanoform Sentinel was near and dear to both of our hearts. We've got Vizier of Tumbling Sands in the LOL cube. And that reminded me of like, oh yeah, like just these little three mana, three toughness blue creatures that untap other permanents, right? Just like the fact that it says permanent means it's a three mana dork in blue and then has so many other applications it can do as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. This card looks very fun to play with. And I think waterbending looks like a very fun mechanic. It's certainly the mechanic I am intrinsically most attracted to as a Magic player. Shocking that it's on blue cards. But yeah, I'm going to be doing some waterbending in Avatar.
Nice.
Next up, we've got Earthbend, which is a keyword action that includes a number. Whenever you Earthbend, choose target land you control. As the Earthbend ability resolves, that land becomes a 0/0 creature with haste that's still a land. Then put +1/+1 counters on it equal to the Earthbend number. I missed this part originally, this next part, when I was reading Earthbend cards, which is when an Earthbended land dies or is exiled, it returns to the battlefield tapped under your control. So there's a safety net built in there because inherently turning one of your creatures into a land is risky, especially with airbending in the set, because I was reading about airbending first and it said you could airbend lands. Like some cards are going to let you airbend permanents. And if you airbend a land, like you have to pay, you can't be replayed because you have to pay to make, like it's an alternate cost and those lands don't have an alternate cost. So I was thinking you were going to be able to airbend people's earthbended lands that were creatures, but that's not happening.
So if you airbend an earthbended land,
then it comes back tapped. It, yes.
Then it just comes back tapped.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What's the example card we have here?
Badger Mole, which is 4 and a green for a common 4/4 Badger Mole. And wherever it enters, you Earthbend 2, and creatures you control with +1/+1 counters on them have trample. So you get a 4/4 plus a 2/2 land, and all your other Earthbended lands presumably have trample.
I wonder how many cards in Magic have the creature type the name of the card.
Not many.
That can't be many, right? It's not a long list, but we've got Badger Mole, creature type Badger Mole here. This is a 5-mana with for a 4/4 plus a 2/2 and bonus to, I mean, the 2/2 having trample isn't that big of a deal, but ostensibly other things will have counters on them that are larger.
Well, and it's cool too that you can earthbend if you want to. You can go tall and keep earthbending the same land, right? And grow it. So you start with a 2/2 and the next time you earthbend, you could earthbend your 2/2 into a 5/5 or whatever.
For sure. In addition to those four new mechanics, we've got some returning mechanics like Double Faced Sagas coming back, probably mostly at Mythic or Rare. We've got the rise of, we have Sagas, not necessarily Double Faced. Here we've got the rise of Sozin. I'm going to be relying on you for pronunciation as well. This is 4BB for Saga. Chapter 1, destroy all creatures. Chapter 2, choose a card name, search target opponent's graveyard, hand, and library for up to 4 cards with that name and exile them, then that player shuffles. Then Chapter 3, you exile this Saga, then return it to the battlefield transformed under your control as Fire Lord Sozin, which is a 5/5 menace. Firebending 3, when it deals combat damage to a player, you may pay X. When you do, put any number of target creature cards with total mana value X or less from that player's graveyard onto the battlefield under your control.
Boom. Ultimate bad guy in Avatar The Last Airbender, the final boss.
Oh, nice. What I really like about this card is that I feel like it's one of the few cards that teaches you that after damage is dealt, there is still a part of your combat phase that exists.
Matt, thank Magic Online for educating me about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up, we've got Lessons, which is a returning subtype that appears on some instants and sorceries. So, for example, we've got Aang's Journey, which is a 2-mana sorcery lesson with kicker 2, so you can pay an additional 2 as you cast it. Search your library for a basic land card. If this spell was kicked, so if you paid 4 mana, instead search your library for a basic land card and a shrine card. Reveal those cards, put them into your hand, then shuffle. You gain 2 life. So for lovers of environmental sciences, this is very reminiscent power crept card of that version, but Learn isn't in the set. So we're not getting Lesson and Learn paired together. So there are just cards that reward you for casting or having lessons in your graveyard. So Lessons matters as a type, but not a pairing of Lesson and Learn. Like you're not going to be able to get lessons out of your sideboard like we did in Strixhaven.
Yeah. Though I imagine this is a bit of a like, you know, we're getting Strixhaven 2.0 next year. And I would imagine that Learn and Lesson will both return to that set.
Hopefully. And then, so as an example of a card that cares about learn, we've got Aang the Last Airbender, which is 3 and a white for a 3/2 uncommon flying. And whenever Aang enters, airbend up to one other target non-land permanent. Whenever you cast a lesson spell, Aang gains lifelink until end of turn.
Oh, airbend is sweet. This just is giving me like, I mean, I know you have to pay two for it, so maybe it's not that sweet, but it's giving me a little Glimmer Point Stag vibes. Also, tokens beware.
And like I said, it's very cool that it's a small enough cost that you wouldn't mind doing it to your stuff if you have things with really good TVs, right. But it's also enough that it's very annoying for your opponent, and I think is going to make the games very interactive, assuming there is lots of airbending going on.
Mm-hmm. Exhaust is back from Aether Drift, which is an activated ability that can only be activated once. Plays nicely with firebending, gives you something to do with that mana at instant speed. As an example card, we've got Hog Monkey, which is 2 and a black for a 3/2, not creature type Hog Monkey, but it is a Boar Monkey, unfortunately. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it gains menace until end of turn. And you can exhaust this for 5 mana to put 2 +1/+1 counters on it. So it would be a 5/4 with menace.
Yes, and you can only use that exhaust ability once. But exhaust plays very nicely with firebending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I assume that's going to be a staple of the black-red decks.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Clue tokens are back. We've got Azula on the Hunt, which is 3 and a black for a 4/3 uncommon with firebending 2. And whenever Azula attacks, you lose 1 life and create a clue token. So then you're going to be able to use that 2 firebended mana to crack your clue if you like, or for other firebending combat type abilities. But Azula is powerful, a little awkward, a little on the clunky side. It's like on the borderline of clunky versus powerful.
I think if this were in greater garbage, I would give it a great. I mean, it's 4 mana 4/3 when this attacks, lose a life, draw a card.
Correct, but like Lightning Strike is in the set. Paying 4 mana for a 4/3, no? You don't love that argument? Dice of Doomblade?
I don't love Dice of Doomblade as an argument, no. But it's worth noting for sure. I mean, it's a 4 mana play that doesn't have an ETB, so that I think like we know to be wary of those kinds of cards in Limited these days, but I still think that looks like a good card to me. Shrines are back. Shrines have been a returning, I think now maybe, I want to say 3 times, like from its original inception, and then they were in Neon Dynasty, and then I think in one of the core sets we had a cycle of shrines. So it's a returning subtype of enchantment that encourage you to control a lot of shrines. They're all legendary, so you can only have one of a single type in play, so it's encouraging you to like sort of collect them all. This is a fond type. It's like an interesting like quest to have late in a format is to start drafting shrines. I'm not sure I see it with how they've been restricted or templated here, but I'll be curious to talk about them. So I'd like to talk about them all, like all the ones we've seen so far now if we can. So first up, sure. We've got Southern Air Temple. So it's 3 and a white for an enchantment shrine. They're all uncommon. When it enters, you put +1/+1 counters on each creature you control, where X is the number of shrines you control. And it says whenever another shrine you control enters, put +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. And they're all templated like this, that like they enter, they do a thing for the number of shrines you control. And then whenever another shrine enters, it does that thing as well.
Correct. Yeah, this one is powerful, I think. And to be clear, if you have never played with shrines before, previously they were static effects that happened usually during your upkeep, but you got every turn bonus that got amplified for each shrine you controlled.
Right. So the fact that these don't auto re-trigger, I think, is a big knock against them. And like Southern Air Temple, yes, it's powerful to put a +1/+1 counter on each of your creatures, but then the more that you're like trying to do the shrine thing, the less creatures you're going to have. So are you just okay with this as a one shot, which doesn't even make it feel like a shrine card to me?
Well, there is going to be a thing with going wide in one of the archetypes, mm-hmm. and this looks good there. Also, works with itself in multiples, right? So you could play one, put a counter on your team, and then you play a second one, and you get 3 +1/+1 counters, right? Because you'll get the 2 from the other one. and then
No.
You'll get two. You'll just get two. I'm wrong. You'll just get two. I'm wrong.
That does make it so it's like it could just be a contained thing in white if you're doing a white go wide thing.
No, that's not true, right? Won't there be a window where you control them both? So the first one will put two plus one counters?
I feel like
no, that's when
as
it enters.
As soon as it enters.
When the second one enters, X will be two.
We're going to have to call a judge on this one because I'm not sure. Because I'm just seeing, I just know as soon as I cast the second one, I'm seeing the window on Magic Online being like, pick one, pick a legendary one to control, to keep. Right. And so I don't know if it checks, if that window allows, or the window so where they're both once, on the
like
battlefield.
If it checks on resolution and there'll only be one left. But either way, also, if this is the second trine that you play, you're getting two plus one counters on your team. That's really powerful.
I agree. Can we look at the other shrines?
We can.
We've seen.
You're over this already.
I just don't think. No, I'm not over it. I just want to like talk about them in
tandem. Like, yes, in unison.
As a unit.
With all of the information we currently have. I get it.
Crescent Island Temple is the red one. 3 and a red. When it enters, for each shrine you control, you make a 1/1 red monk creature token with prowess. And then whenever another shrine enters, you get a 1/1 red monk creature token with prowess.
That one, I think, is less good.
Yes. I wish that, like, I really wish that this one curved into the white one. Like, if this was 3 mana and the white one
correct.
Was 4 mana.
I mean, you can still go turn 4, turn 5.
I kind of wish that was how they were designed, that they were
1, 2, 3, 4, 5
through 5-drop because of how they're, like, they want you to build on each other, but they clearly don't do that. So I don't know. That's why I'm very like, ugh, can you really do the shrine thing even in week 4?
Well, so we've got the last one here, which is Northern Air Temple, which is single black for an uncommon. When it enters, each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is the number of shrines you control. And whenever another shrine you control enters, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. This one will definitely juice up your other shrines, but at the cost of a card. Because this one isn't really worth a card.
It's like the black Dragonstorm.
Correct.
From TDM, which was the 1 and a black. When it enters, you drained 2 and I think surveilled 2. And then when you played a dragon, you got to pick it up. And that wasn't very good, but at least it surveilled also.
But assuming this is doable, which I think we should assume that it is doable. I think this version with them being cheaper and one shotty looks better than the really expensive, like where you cast it and have to wait till your upkeep. Like at least you instantly get the benefit from these. Like there's something to be said there. It's also nice with airbending where assuming you can airbend your own stuff, you can airbend your shrine to re-trigger the ETBs. I think there's stuff going on there. I'm cautiously optimistic, like, after seeing these three. The white one certainly seems juiced enough for me to be interested in doing the thing. Although, if you've got a bunch of shrines, maybe you don't have a bunch of creatures.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, the white one seems like, yeah, maybe you just play, like, 2 of those in a white go-wide deck. But I'm less... It does... Like, I read those 3 cards, and I'm not like, oh, yeah, I want to draft 5-color shrines.
I agree. I feel similarly.
Okay. All right, where do we want to go next?
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Winter is coming, which means shorter days, but they don't have to be dismal. It's time to reach out and check in with those you care about and to remind ourselves that we're not alone.
I have an old friend from grade school who I've not connected with in a long time. A lot of sort of like every few months, one of us will call or text the other one, but our schedules never quite line up. And then, I don't know if you have the same thing, but I have this thing where with someone I haven't talked to in a while, my anxiety starts to creep in about how long it's been and is it going to be awkward or is the conversation going to be too, like, we have so much to catch up on. I got to carve out like 2 hours for this and I feel guilty about not having gotten back to her sooner and I make a much bigger deal out of it than it actually is. And then last week we finally got on the phone and it was great to catch up about our life and kids. And it makes you wonder, like, what were you even worried about? What were you waiting for?
Seasonal depression is no joke, and it's important to stay connected. We're healthier when we have community and when we have support from friends, family, or therapy. BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally.
This month, don't wait to reach out. Whether you're checking in on a friend or reaching out to a therapist yourself, BetterHelp makes it easier to take your first step.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/lords. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now, back to the show. So that's it for mechanics, new and returning. So let's go to the draft archetypes and what the linchpin signpost cards are.
I love that you also included in our show notes not only the little blue-white is flyers, but you also included the avatar, the little blurb that Wizards always puts with each of the archetypes.
Absolutely. It's fun. So we've got blue-white flyers up first, classic limited archetype, take to the skies with Aang and his friends, gather a team of flyers, and soar like an airbender.
I'm not only going to put you in charge of episode titles for this set, but I will be putting you in charge of reading all 10 of those.
Done. I'm here for it. So the only blue-white card we've seen so far is the multicolored hybrid uncommon, which is one Azorius Azorius for a 2/4 uncommon, Soka Lateral Strategist, who's a human warrior ally. It's got vigilance, and whenever Soka and at least one other creature attack, draw a card.
Cool. It's got a little, I'm going to forget the name of the equipment, but the one that's in Power Cube, that it's like the one on a white auto equips to a 2/2. And then when it's got that text, when it and another creature attacks, draw a card, which is good.
Yeah. I mean, having a big butt also helps. I assume this will have attacks on turn 4, but it's rapidly going to, you're going to want to be able to give it flying or combat tricks or something.
Sure. Yeah. Next up is blue-black draw 2.
Hunt for knowledge, using clues and other draw effects to trigger your second draw reward cards. That's a mouthful. Your draw 2 reward cards, but I guess your second draw reward cards. The long game is yours.
The couple cards we've got previewed so far are Hama the Bloodbender, which is 2 and triple Dimir hybrid. So 5 mana total for a 3/3 legendary creature human warlock. When Hama enters, target opponent mills 3 cards. Exile up to 1 non-creature, non-land card from that player's graveyard. For as long as you control Hama, you may cast the exiled card during your turn by waterbending X rather than paying its mana cost, where X is its mana value. So, if they've got, you said Lightning Strike is in the set. So let's say they've got Lightning Strike. You can cast this. They mill 3. You exile Lightning Strike from their yard. And then you can basically tap this and one other thing to cast Lightning Strike.
This card is broken, right?
Yeah. All these to me, reminding me of Covetous Urge from Eldraine. I just feel like these Dimir hybrid, Steal Your Girl kind of cards are great.
But you're going to be able to cast this and then play the spell for free, basically, if you have untapped permanence, right?
Yeah.
It gets Convoke X for artifacts and creatures, right?
Yes, you're reading it right. I mean, I gave an example of Lightning Strike, which is great. I mean, there's also worlds where, they don't have a target in their yard, which just means it's a game where they haven't cast a removal spell. But that's possible, that they don't have a target. And in which case,
it mills 3 to help you YOLO find a target also.
For sure. But can you imagine, 5 mana, 3/3 YOLO miss, do nothing? It's not great.
But it'd be exciting while you YOLO'd. It'd be a lot of adrenaline.
It would be exciting. You're going to get some bad Hama flips. You're going to have nothing, and then your opponent's going to mill over the game-winning card. But yeah, I like this card. I don't think this is, busted. But I think
it looks busted to me. Busted. We've also got Foggy Swamp Spirit Keeper, which is 1 blue black for an uncommon human druid ally. It's a 2/4 lifelink. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 1/1 colorless spirit creature token with this token can't block or be blocked by non-spirit creatures.
Cool. This is interesting. I feel like we usually see the draw to pay. It's like a payoff and an enabler. This would be a looter or something, when it connects loot and then whenever you draw your second card. But it does, so it doesn't enable the thing, but it is a nice payoff for it. And another 3 mana 2/4.
Weird too, though, that this isn't going to help you stabilize these spirit creature tokens.
No,
they just are only going to kill your opponent later.
Yes. Because you're thinking with them saying, the long game is yours.
I want my tokens to help me stay alive.
Yeah.
Don't love that. I think the hybrid one seems better than Foggy Swamp to me.
I don't know. I'm not sneezing. I feel like you're sneezing at 3-mana 2/4 lifelink a little too
sure,
much.
Sure, that's a good card. Good card. Good yeah. card. I just am, I'm all about Hama.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, we've got Black Red Fire Nation Aggro. Everything changes when the Fire Nation attacks. Be aggressive with firebending and burn it on. Extra effect.
That was giving real 90s toy commercial vibes just then, like Crossfire. And the preview card we have so far is Zhao Ruthless Admiral, which is 2 Rakdos-Rakdos hybrid for 3/4. So 4-mana 3/4 with firebending 2. And whenever you sacrifice another permanent, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. So this is pretty interesting, actually, because this, I feel like, is the first one I've seen that gives you the mana but doesn't give you something to do with the mana.
Yeah. And also, +1/+0 to your team. This one seems fine to me. Not impressed so far.
Sacrificing clues, which does seem to be part of what Rakdos gets to do. Like, sacking a clue to buff your team is pretty cool.
Would you rather have a card most of the time?
But it doesn't say you have to. This says whenever you sacrifice another permanent, I'm gonna.
I'm with you. Okay, so just like paying 2 to sack a clue to draw a card. Okay.
Yeah. I'm following along. Is there Evolving Wilds or Terramorphic Expanse in the set? Do we get a land that's going to trigger this too?
Not that I've seen so far.
All right, so no fixing, hopefully. No fetch lands to trigger this. But anyway, I want to be on the lookout for stuff like that. Next up, we've got red-green, which is Earth Rumble Ramp. All right, I'm gonna take a stab here. Use Mana Ramp and Earthbending to create 4+ power creatures, then rack up the bonuses to claim the title belt.
There we go. You're on board. It's all right, fun.
I'm in.
So example card here we've got is Uncle Iroh, which is the hybrid one. It's 1 Gruul for a 4/2 uncommon with firebending 1. Lesson spells you cast cost 1 less to cast.
Interesting. And so, like, if you've got a lesson that is whatever, this is going to give you a red mana. The lessons are instant speed, most of them, some of them.
Instants or sorceries, some of them, yeah.
So some instants you can cast for on the cheap. Like, this is going to give you 1 cheaper with its static and then 1 cheaper with the single red mana it generates. That's nice.
Incidentally, Uncle Iroh, my goat character from the show.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. He's Fire Nation, which are the bad guys, but he's like an elder Fire Nation, and he's like he's got a lot of wisdom to impart in the show, and like comic relief, he's very good.
Do you feel like they did him well here in this card? He's a little underpowered if he's your goat card.
I don't. I mean, goat character, not my goat card.
Character, yeah.
Goat character. Yeah, a little underpowered, I would say.
Okay.
Green-White Allies is up next. A world united is unstoppable. Play allies and generate tokens to go wide and hit your enemies hard from all sides. First card we've got here is Suki Kyoshi Warrior, which is 2 Selesnya Selesnya for an uncommon. Star 4, so star power, 4 toughness. Suki's power is equal to the number of creatures you control. When Suki attacks, create a 1/1 white ally creature token that's tapped and attacking. This card is strong.
It's Adeline. I mean, yeah, it's strong.
This card's strong.
All right, it's strong. It's strong.
One of the better ones we've seen so far, if not the best we've seen so far.
And the other one we've seen is White Lotus Reinforcements, which is 1 green white for a 2/3 with vigilance. It itself is a human soldier ally, and it says other allies you control get +1/+1. And Suki is both an ally and makes the tokens it makes are 1/1 white ally creature tokens. So
yeah, green white caring about allies. It's in the name. Green white allies.
There it is. It's in the name. Next up is Black White Sacrifice. Victory comes at a cost. Play smaller creatures and clues, then gain the upper hand when you sacrifice them. It just doesn't sound like a good selling. You're not selling me there with your creatures are small, but you can get rid of them yourself. The example card here we have is Hei Bai, Spirit of Balance. I feel like it's got to be Hei Bai.
Let's go Hei Bai.
2 Orzhov hybrid for a 3/3, 4-mana 3/3. Whenever it enters or attacks, you may sacrifice another creature or artifact. If you do, put 2 +1/+1 counters on Hei Bai. And when High Buy leaves the battlefield, put its counters on target creature you control. I'm not into it.
I mean, 4-mana 5-5 is large if you've got something that you want to sacrifice.
4-mana 5-5 is large. And notably, it says when it leaves, so even if this gets exiled, and you could airbend it yourself if you want to, like, it leaves, it dumps its counter somewhere, it comes back, it sacks something for value, and I don't know,
maybe like I'm a cool combat trick kind of thing. Yeah,
I'm selling
that
myself.
Sounds like, that sounds like me. Sacks do a lot of work to get small benefits.
Yeah. All right. Never mind. I'm in on black white.
Next up, we've got blue red combat lessons. Play creatures that care about casting non-creature spells, then teach your foes a lesson with your martial prowess.
This has you written all over it.
Yeah, this archetype does look very fun. It looks kind of Monastery Swift Spear-esque. Signpost uncommon here is Dragonfly Swarm, which is one blue red for a star 3, so star power, 3 toughness, uncommon, dragon insect. It's got flying and ward 1. This creature's power is equal to the number of non-creature, non-land cards in your graveyard. And when this creature dies, if there's a lesson card in your graveyard, draw a card.
It's really interesting that we've got this Enigma Drake variant here that counts more than instants and sorceries, that it's non-creature, non-land. So I don't know if there are like trinkety artifacts running around, but if there's little like cantripping artifacts that can make their way to the yard, obviously maybe if you like have self-mill and you've got, you know, blue aura removal, like that's going to count towards this. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, this card looks juiced. It's very powerful. I think this is either my favorite or my second favorite past Hama. Like, and certainly in terms of power level, up there with Suki and Hama.
Mm-hmm. Black-green is +/+1 counters. Accrue power by any means. Stack up counters to gain bonuses and control the Earth Kingdom from within. So not graveyard stuff, huh?
Not graveyard stuff. And this is very flavorful. As this being black-green, the Earth Kingdom is like very green, obviously. But the Dai Li are like this secret police of the Earth Kingdom that stage a coup and like are bad. Take it over from within. It's very, very flavorful. So we've got a Dai Li Agents, which is the signpost uncommon here. 3 black green for an uncommon 3/4 human soldier. Whenever this creature enters, earthbend 1, then earthbend 1. Whenever this creature attacks, each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures you control with +1/+1 counters on them.
Okay. And then we've got Long Fang Grand Secretariat, which is 1 Golgari hybrid, so 3 mana for a 2/3. Whenever another creature you control or a land you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a +/+1 counter on target creature you control.
This stuff looks supported. There are a bunch of other cards that care about +/+1 counters that we're going to see in some of the preview examples that we go through. I like both these cards a fair amount. They're not broken or anything, but they're good.
Yeah. Dai Li Agents is so tough to like. I don't know. Yeah, it's very interesting because like you don't have to engage the lands in combat if you don't want to, and there's not really much of a downside. Like if your opponent kills them or exiles them, they're coming back anyway.
So jump I think Dai Li Agents is pretty powerful.
I think it is too. Like it's 5 mana for 5/6 over 3 bodies with plenty of synergy as well. Like this could like if you've got it's also not legendary. Like Dai Li Agents into Dai Li Agents, attack, drain 4.
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay.
Takes us on to red white, which is go wide aggro. Lead the rebellion with an army of allies and tokens that you can enhance for devastating attacks.
Nice.
So we've got Sun Warriors, which is the multicolored hybrid, the gold signpost uncommon. I don't know what to call these cards.
Struggling so hard and I don't know what's happening.
I also don't know what's happening. The gold signpost uncommon, which is 2 red white for an uncommon 3/5 human warrior ally with firebending X, where X is the number of creatures you control, and then you can pay 5 mana at any time to create a 1/1 white ally creature token.
Okay, 4 mana, 3/5. X is the number of just creatures you control. I mean, I'm not that jazzed about its activated ability. I am kind of jazzed about where else can I put all this extra mana?
Yeah, that seems better to me as well.
And then the other card. A little clunky, though. A little clunky, right? I mean, you see a 4-mana 3/5 as your Boros signpost is a little, like, not quite what we're used to. And then check out this intro, Ben. I'm just going to say, and the other card we're going to look at is Jet
it's very
Freedom
smooth.
Fighter.
Hold on.
This is 2 triple Boros hybrids. So that's 5 mana for just a 3/1. When Jet enters, he deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control to target creature an opponent controls. And when Jet dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures.
So Jet also seems busted.
It's a pretty powerful payoff for going wide. But you don't even have to be going wide, just having creatures on the battlefield.
Yeah, Jet is really strong.
Oh, and it counts itself.
It counts itself, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Jet's really strong. But that is, like, it's interesting. Red, white, go wide aggro is the template, and the 2 preview cards we've seen are a 4-drop and a 5-drop.
I assume there will be some cheaper cards at common and uncommon.
Sure, sure, sure. But usually it's like, you know, the signpost is red, white for a 2/3 when it attacks, you know, like.
Sure, sure, sure.
Something like that.
Last but not least, we've got green, blue, ramp plus lessons. The classic, what should we call this? We've got some mechanics. Here's green, blue. Although it does kind of seem like it's maybe going to be green, blue shrines. Turn your knowledge into power. Ramp and draw cards to play big creatures while getting lessons in your graveyard. Do all of the things.
Do all the things. Just try them. Try them together. The example card is Guru Pathik or Guru Patik. I don't know. 2 Simic Simic hybrid for a 2/4. When it enters, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal a lesson, saga, or shrine card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Whenever you cast a lesson, saga, or shrine spell, put a +1/+1 counter on another target creature you control. That's another, like, the sagas are also going to be another non-creature, non-land type that will make its way to the graveyard for that blue-red stuff.
Yeah, this is just a good card. It's a little annoying that everything else is going to want to splash it, but it's a very good card.
I mean, I guess I don't know what density your decks are going to have of lesson sagas or shrines. Like, you know, in theory, you want 8 in your deck.
Blue red lessons is definitely going to want to play this.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. And I guess this has synergy in Golgari +1/+1 counters too.
Right. It's a very good bleed card.
I see what you're saying about maybe some other color pairs are going to snap it up too.
So those are our multicolored signpost cards that we've got so far. And okay, like we said, there's a cycle of hybrid commons as well, but they aren't that interesting, so I don't think we're going to get into them here.
Okay.
So we've got a boatload of removal that's been previewed so far. A couple bangers coming back. Uncommon, Epic Downfall, 1 black, sorcery, exile target creature with converted mana cost 3 or greater. It's also Heartless Act, which is 1 black for an instant. Choose 1, destroy a creature with no counters on it, or remove up to 3 counters from target creature. Both those are excellent removal spells.
A new one here is Allies at Last, which is 2 and a green for an instant. It has affinity for allies, up to 2 target creatures you control. Each deal damage equal to their power to target creature and opponent controls. I mean, you get that down to single green. That's really good. And
yeah,
so this powerful might just be a green, white, gold card. It'll depend, I guess, how much ally bleed there is.
You're never cutting that from a green deck, I don't think.
Watch me. Just watch me.
Next, we've got Earth Rumble, which is 3 and a green for a sorcery, Earthbend 2. When you do, up to 1 target creature you control fights target creature and opponent controls.
4 mana fights. It's
kind of like a juiced Hunt the Week for your Earthbended lands.
That is a generous lens.
That's a generous description?
With which to look this card through, but I'm here for it. This looks very clunky to me. But yeah, I see what you're saying about, if you think of it as, well, it's +2/+2 Hunt the Week if you're using it on a go tall land. Still not crazy about that.
I don't know. It's pretty good if it happens that way. It's just very narrow.
Yeah. I mean, it also just might be good to get a 2, like turn your land into a 2/2 plus fight a thing if you got something else that's big. Like, that might be good. Path to Redemption is 1 and a white for an aura. Enchanted creature can't attack or block, and you can pay 5, sack this aura, exile enchanted creature, create a 1/1 white ally creature token, activate only during your turn. I love this card.
You're going to be able to, oh no, sacrificing, it's part of paying the cost. So you can't do the airbending trick.
You could do the dreadful apathy flicker. Yeah,
they caught me. They already thought about that too. Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's better or worse. If I'm like, good that you removed that synergy or bad. What Ben is alluding to is that there have been auras in the past that have this, where you could, like, based on the way they were worded, you could activate the aura to exile the creature and flicker the aura to go somewhere else so that it would still exile the creature, and then you could move your pacifism variant onto another creature. But I'm into this.
Yeah, card's good. Next up, we've got Razor Rings, which is 1 and a white for an instant. Deals 4 damage to target attacking or blocking creature. You gain life equal to the excess damage dealt this way.
I like that card, too. I think I like the 2 mana deal 4s, and I like that it could be like 2 mana, kill their 2-drop, gain 2.
Yeah, it's a good card.
Lost Days is 4 and a blue for an instant. Lesson. The owner of target creature or enchantment puts it into their library second from the top or on the bottom, and you create a clue.
This is pushed.
So it's your top or bottom spell. For an additional mana, you get a clue.
And second from the top, which is nothing either. Like, that's big. That's an upgrade.
And can target an enchantment, which is just upside. Yeah,
it's a good card. I am a top or bottom hater, and I really like this card.
Well, have you peeped the Ben Warney signature about these cards is what's the triumvirate here? Is there an instant speed draw spell? Is there a counter spell to go with this?
There's a quench variant.
Okay.
It's the quenchiest for 1 and a blue, which is quench, counter target spell, unless controller pays 2.
Okay.
Which is a line from the show. I don't remember about card draw at instant speed.
Okay. All right. I mean, I assume blue will have some card draw spells. What's next?
Watery Grasp is up next. Single blue for an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. Then you can waterbend 5 to have enchanted creature's owner shuffle it into their library.
But it doesn't tap it itself.
Correct. But it is single blue. I think I would rather have it be single blue and not do the claustrophobia thing than have it be claustrophobia. This is better than claustrophobia, I think, which is 1 blue, tap a thing, it doesn't untap.
Really?
Yeah. You're also going to be able to do the cute airbending trick with this.
Which
when you
is
shuffle it back in
for 7 mana or whatever, like,
but it's got waterbend. I waterbend.
Oh,
is
so I see.
Powerful.
Yeah. Okay. That this doesn't necessarily have to cost that amount of mana. Okay, I'm down with this as like synergistic in that sense. I am not down with single blue doesn't tap the thing, but yeah, maybe it's good enough.
Both of those removal spells look excellent to me. You got Watery Grasp to stabilize early, Lost Days to take control late. They play well with each other. Yeah. Big ups for me from both those.
But that's only assuming you're playing against an aggressive deck. Like, what if you're playing against a deck that isn't, those aren't really good removal spells.
I mean, Lost Days is just a good removal spell, period.
It's five mana.
It gives you a clue. Who are you? That card's so good.
I just feel like you're really like, I don't know. I think it's good. I feel like we're both like C+. Classic.
I'm selling
classic,
hard. No, no,
classic
no.
Preview season. No, you're going B- on that card?
Lost A's? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Watery Grasp. My heart wants to, but my head says no.
Yikes. Okay. Deadly Precision is up next. This is single black for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast it, pay 4 or sack an artifact or creature to destroy target creature. Classic. Bone Splinters variant.
Yeah, card's going to be good. Next up, we've got Boomy Bash, which is 3 and a red for a sorcery. Choose 1. Boomy Bash deals damage equal to the number of lands you control to target creature, or destroy target land, creature, or non-basic land.
Interesting. So if they've happened to have gone too tall on their earthbending, you can cut them down to size?
Correct.
Okay. Lightning Strike, you said, is back. 1 and a red, instant, deal 3 to any target. And Rocky Rebuke is a new card. 1 and a green, instant, target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature and opponent controls.
Yeah, good suite of removal there. That is promising for the set.
Yeah, for sure.
Couple top common watch cards. We've got Corrupt Court Official, which is a Virus Beetle variant, which is one and a black for a 1/1 human advisor. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent discards a card.
Yep. I mean, obviously that'll be bread and butter for black-white, you would think, and then might just be great in general. I feel like Flashback does exist in this set, and I feel like we have knocked... Like, Heck Dies was particularly not great in Final Fantasy because Flashback existed. So... Be curious to see. This is always a fun variant, I think, to see like how it fluctuates from one of the best commons in the set to not that great. And we've got Ostrich Horse, which is 2 and a green for a 3/1, but not creature type Ostrich Horse, just a bird horse. But this is one of those, when it enters, mill 3 cards. You may put a land card from among them into your hand if you don't put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
This card is very good. I mean, it's the Patient Naturalist type reprint. Mm-hmm. But I think 3/1 is better than 2/3. It's going to play offense better and it's going to play defense better.
I agree with that. I'm more excited about the 3/1. I wish.
And if you whiff, it's a 4/2, which also feels good.
I mean, a 3 mana 4/2 good enough. Is sure. Nothing. A 3 mana 4/2 is not a card. Like, it's not a card you would ever care about.
Sure. But I mean, it's a fail case, not the worst.
Sure. Yes. Certainly better than 3 mana 3/1. Nothing.
A couple waterbending cards here. Or one, I guess, to be clear. Katara, Bending Prodigy. It's 2 and a blue for a 2/3. At the beginning of your end step, if Katara is tapped, put a +1/+1 counter on her. She's an uncommon, by the way. Legendary uncommon. And has waterbend 6 to draw a card at instant speed.
So, Okay, I'm seeing it. So... That's how the tapping stuff works, because blue's got a lot of this, like one of our greater garbage cards is a little trinkety card that wants to get tapped. And I initially was like, how is, because I think I was reading cards before reading the mechanics.
Yeah.
So that's how you tap the stuff. But interesting that like you can do it at instant speed, but you'll only grow her if you're tapping her on your turn.
Who cares about growing?
Yeah.
Having the option. Like, do you remember in Midnight Hunt how broken all the stuff was that was like tap 3 things to scry one or whatever? Like, this is really strong, assuming you can put some rectangles on the battlefield.
I wonder if there'll be some bleed. Like, if we're going to be like the green white go wide allies thing will maybe morph into a Bant
like, waterbending.
Yeah, Bant waterbending and using all the tokens or whatever go wide stuff green white has. For waterbending.
I've got a Flyers Matter payoff here for blue-white, which is Teo Spirited Glider. 3 and a blue for an uncommon 1/4 with flying. Whenever one or more creatures you control with flying attack, draw a card, then discard a card. When you discard a non-land card this way, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So basically connive.
Nice. A few cards that are focused on spells / lessons mattering. Serpent of the Pass is 5 blue-blue for a 6/5 uncommon. If there are 3 or more lesson cards in your graveyard, you may cast the spell as though it had flash, and it costs 1 less to cast for each non-creature, non-land card in your graveyard. That's a cool payoff.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
Right. This is, what's it called? Talarian Terror.
Yeah, or Gearseeker Serpent, and any of those type of cards I'm a sucker for. Mm-hmm. Also got First Time Flyer. This maybe could have been in the top common watch. This is 1 and a blue for a 1/2 with flying, and it gets +1/+1 as long as there's a lesson card in your graveyard.
I mean, that's part of the puzzle that we'll have to dial in on next week in the Crash Course is like, how many lessons are there and how good are they? Because that also, like, some of them are colorless, and so like anyone can snap them up, especially if they're good. Like, we saw that mana fixing one. So it'll be interesting to see like how easy it'll be to get these for your deck. And then Fire Nation Cadets is single red for a 1/2. This creature has firebending 2 as long as there's a lesson card in your graveyard. And it has our affectionate term, smoke breathing, which is 2 mana to give it +1/+0 until end of turn.
It's not great, but if blue red's going to be good, seems like it'll be a part of the deck.
For sure. And like, There's a cool aspect of this card. This is a common where like maybe not a lot of other decks want this and you can get them
right,
late.
You might get them.
And then you're like, you got a lesson card in your graveyard and you attack with 2 of these and all of a sudden you have 4 mana to use in your combat step.
Yeah.
Part of the thing about firebending with like a card like this, we don't, again, have the full idea of the suite of what there is to do at instant speed with all this mana. But I was reminded of a card, especially because of one of the greater garbage cards we're going to look at, called Jeskai Elder, which was from Khans of Tarkir. It's one in a blue for a 1/2 with prowess. And when it deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card and discard a card. And that card, cards like that, like a prowess card, it's just kind of hard to figure out how you're supposed to engage with that in combat into open mana. Like, do I block this with a 2/2? Are you bluffing your attack with your 1/2 into my 2/2? And I feel like some of that stuff is going to come up in this set with firebending, with like your opponent just being like, I'm going to make some what looks like maybe some questionable attacks, but I also now have 4 red mana floating.
Right.
Your move. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Which I think will be interesting to play around.
We've got some allies matter cards as well. First up is Heru Hidden Talent. This is 1 and a green for an uncommon 1/1 human peasant ally. Whenever another ally you control enters, Earthbend 1.
Okay. Next up we have Invasion Tactics. 4 and a green for an enchantment. When it enters, creatures you control get +2/+2 until end of turn. And whenever one or more allies you control deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. Let me guess. You love this card.
I don't love it. No, I just added it to the list of allies matter. I think this is worse than probably the white shrine would be my guess. But you're probably always playing this in green-white, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't
seem great to me.
It's very strange to have an overrun effect that is supposed to end the game when you cast it. That's also like, and then if the game's still going, maybe you want a couple cards.
But that's good, right?
It's good.
It's better than overrun, because we've learned that overrun doesn't end the game. This is
sure.
Think of this as, can I sell you that this is on the job from Murders at Karlov Manor?
I told you loved this card. Yeah, I think that's a fair. I mean, it's not an instant, but so like it's not a combat trick, like on the job was.
Sure.
But yeah,
but you get the draw for free, unlike the draw for on free. The job.
Yeah.
And it's a mana more expensive. I don't love this card. I think it will be played in green white.
Listeners, let us know in the comments. Does Ben love this card?
Lastly, we've got Avatar Enthusiast, which is 2 and a white for a 2/2. Whenever another ally you control enters, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
Usually this
type of creature costs 4. I mean, it's a mana undercosted.
When have we seen this type of creature before?
Like things that grow for the, like Unruly Mob or things like that. Like usually if there's 2/2s that grow with counters, they cost 4.
They cost 4. Yeah. Yeah, an interesting card. We got to see, like, is there a Raise the Alarm for allies? Like 2 mana make 2/1/1 allies?
I mean, that would be pretty broken, I think, but we'll see. They seem, from the gold uncommons, they do seem interested in pushing green, white, and black, green that we've seen so far. All right, we just got a few cool cards to take a look at next, which is Momo, Playful Pet, white for a 1/1 uncommon with flying vigilance. When it leaves the battlefield, choose one, create a food token, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control, or scry 2. It's just an excellent, cheap Magic the Gathering card. Very flexible.
Yeah. And again, cool that it says leaves the battlefield. So not only is this sack fodder for you in your black-white deck, but also something you can airbend and get the effect as well.
And as I assume is going to be great in blue-white flyers as a flying vigilance card.
Vigilant,
then you can waterbend later.
That is gluey. Okay. Yeah. Next up is Ty Lee, Artful Acrobat. 2 and a red for a 3/2 with prowess. And whenever it attacks, you may pay 1. When you do, target creature can't block this turn. Oh, you could probably stack firebending mana, like triggers, to
Correct.
Use firebending for this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I think that one is certainly less good than Momo, but a cool card. Mm-hmm. As the category suggests. Next, we've got War Balloon, which is 2 and a red for an uncommon 4/3 vehicle with flying. You can pay 1 to put a fire counter on this vehicle. As long as this vehicle has 3 or more fire counters on it, it's an artifact creature, and it's got crew 3. It's pretty strong, I think, as a place to dump your firebending mana. It's basically a 3-mana 4/3 thing in a firebending deck.
Yeah. Yeah. Also interesting that there are, like, we've got this creatures being tapped matter thing seeded throughout, and there are vehicles as well. So that's a place you can tap your creatures into. Flopsy, Boomy's buddy, is 4GG for a 4/4. When it enters, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. But we know Ben doesn't like that effect. I like that effect. Ben doesn't like it. Each creature you control with power 4 or greater can't be blocked by more than one creature. This is very good.
Very good. I'm less excited about this one.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. This is a 6-mana 5/5 that's going to anthem your team.
That's good.
And make your cards harder to block. This is better than that Overrun enchantment and the White Shrine.
I agree. It's cost 6, though.
I think this is something you want to cost 6. I think you're happy to spend 6 mana on this. That's what I think.
And the last cool card we've got here is Sparring Dummy, which is 1 and a green for a 1/3 artifact creature. It's a scarecrow, uncommon, defender. You can tap it, mill a card, put a land card milled this way into your hand. You gain 2 life if a lesson card is milled this way.
This is a cool card. I love, what is that card? Isn't it like 1 and a green for a 1/1? It's like a very old card that does this thing. It doesn't do the gain life, but like you basically mill a card, and if it's a land, you get to draw it instead.
What card you're thinking of?
I love that card, and it's not good, but I love it, and I'm excited about this card.
Sparring Dummy is going straight into the Lords of Limited Cube.
Oh, for sure. It's got types. It's got derps around.
It's got milling. Yeah.
I'm excited for that as a 50 takes addition to get to shout the cards we want to add to the cube. All right, next up we have Invasion Submersible. This is 2 and a blue for a 0/0 artifact vehicle. When it enters, return up to 1 other target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. And it has an exhaust ability, which is Waterbend 3. This vehicle becomes an artifact creature. Put 3 +1/+1 counters on it. And this is really Waterbend 2, because you can use this
to help turn it into a creature. Yeah. I mean, you won't be able to do the block, surprise block thing if you do that.
Sure.
But, I mean, this is mana ward. This card's incredible.
Excellent, yeah.
And the last one we're going to take a look at here is Soka's Haiku. 3 blue-blue for an instant lesson, uncommon. Actually a haiku, which is cute. Counter target spell, draw a card, then mill 3 cards. Untap target land.
That's a cool card. And
it's a very cool card.
And is Cryptic Command,
yeah. You're going to be interested in the milling 3 cards to dump more lessons in your graveyard, more spells in your graveyard. This card looks very powerful.
All right, we've come to everyone's favorite segment, certainly mine. Great or garbage. We've got, I don't know, about a dozen cards on this list here. And the rules are quite simple. We have to come down on either side of, is this card great or is this card garbage? First up is Gran, single blue for a 1/2 legendary creature, human peasant ally. Whenever Gran becomes tapped, draw a card, then discard a card. Non-creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast as long as there are 3 or more lesson cards in your graveyard.
I like this card. I if you force me, I'm going to say great. Because I think it plays really well with waterbending. We've seen the vehicles. There's just enough to make me interested in this. And I think it is going to, presumably, if you're playing this in blue-red lessons, be trivially easy to turn it on.
Yeah.
And I think all of that for 1 mana adds up to a card I am interested in.
And plus the times where you just get to, on the play this on turn 1, your opponent doesn't have anything, and you just get to get that free loot on your first attack with it, is also going to feel really powerful. I think that is honestly going to feel the worst to me, is when your opponent just gets that free loot. Correct. To smooth their draw early and then has this throughout the game. Like, that makes it feel like I have to kill this.
It's very innocuous also, to where, like, you don't really want to kill it. No. But it's also giving pretty good value.
Yeah. So, like, in the right deck, it's going to be great. And so I think that means it's got to just be great.
Next up, we've got Honest Work, which is blue for an aura. Enchant creature an opponent controls. This is an uncommon. When this aura enters, tap enchant a creature and remove all counters from it. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a citizen with base power and toughness 1/1 and tap, add colorless, named Humble Merchant.
Did they do it? Did they make Unable to Scream that you're excited about?
No, they did not. It turns it into a land. This card, I think, is hot garbage.
I think the joke here is that it's best against Earthbend. Because, like, it's already a land, and so it doesn't matter, so you're just, like, shrinking it down to size. But even that, I'm not that excited about.
Yeah, none of this seems good to me.
I would vote garbage on that as well. Master Paku is up next. It's one and a blue for a 1/3. It's a legendary creature with prowess. And when it becomes tapped, target player mills X cards, where X is the number of lesson cards in your graveyard. This was another one of the cards that I was like, oh, this is kind of like, this is even before I was thinking about all the tapping with Waterbend, that just, like, it's hard to engage with this in combat and to open mana.
Very hard to engage with it, but I think this is real also, because initially you're going to be able to mill yourself, and then at a certain point, you're going to be able to just Waterbend and mill them out. Like, I think this card looks broken to me.
This is just, it's brain freeze in modern day retail limited, basically.
You don't have to tell me that. Yeah. This also looks like a good Lords of Limited cube card.
Oh, you want
to get although some maybe it's harder. Maybe it's harder to get it tapped there. We'll have to take a look at that.
We'll see. Yeah, we're lacking in vehicles, I would say. We might need to juice some vehicles there.
But I think, yeah, in on Master Paku, this card looks great to me.
Yeah, very good.
Buzzard Wasp Colony is up next. This is 3 and a black for a 2/2 uncommon bird insect with flying. When this creature enters, you may sacrifice an artifact or creature. If you do, draw a card. Whenever another creature you control dies, if it had counters on it, put its counters on this creature.
I'm not that into this card, I would say.
I'm also not, but it's close, right?
Like, is 4-mana 2/2 flyer ETB draw card that busted?
That's good.
It's good. Like, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, but that's not even me going, like, how could they ever print a card like that, you know? And this is an uncommon. So it's a 4-mana 2/2 flyer. Have some hoops if you want to draw a card. And then it can grow tall. I don't know. I think I'm out on this card.
I also, if you force me to choose, I'm going to say garbage. But I think it's interesting. It's so close.
Next, we've got Cat Gator. 6 and a black for a 3/2. 6 and a black for a 3/2. 7-mana 3/2. With lifelink. When this creature enters, it deals damage equal to the number of swamps you control to any target. I mean, there's hybrid mana in the set.
What does that have to do with anything?
That you can, like, we could have monocolored decks in the format.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like this. Yeah. This gets the brain wheels turning. Like, can I do mono black? Can you get multiple of these in a mono black deck? It can go face.
No one else should, like, no one should want this. Anyone playing a 2-color deck.
You think this isn't good in a 2-color deck?
No. Do you think 7-mana 3/2 lifelink deal 3/4 to a target?
I think it's close, like, to playable.
It's Nebula Dragon. If Nebula Dragon was not a 4/4 flyer, but instead a 3/2 lifelink, that's pretty bad. Now, I guess it deals the damage, so it's draining. So it is like helixing. So it's deal three or four, gain 3 or 4. That's not nothing. Maybe it's not unplayable in a 2-color deck.
I think this card is great. Just it existing is great for the format, for sure.
That is not the prompt, though. It can't be, I'm happy this card exists.
The prompt I'm gonna go is, great, then. Will... If you... yeah, I'm going to go great. I think there will be... either you or I or someone is going to draft a mono black deck where this card is great. Is this card intrinsically great? No, but put it in the right home and it is great.
I don't know. I'm kind of like, you're kind of selling me on 7-mana, 3/2 lifelink, deal four, gain four.
It's a big swing.
That's a big swing. I think this is great. I do think this is great. Yeah.
Blue black control. The long game's yours.
The long game is yours with your 1/1s that can't block.
Next up, we've got Fire Nation Attacks. This is 4 and a red for an instant uncommon. Create 2/2 red soldier creature tokens with firebending 1. And it's got flashback for 8 and a red.
I love this card.
It's a very cool card.
I think this card's very cool. It's an, like, this is an instant, so it gives you things to do with your firebending mana. I also think, like, 5 mana instant make 2/2s with upside. Plus it has flashback, plus firebending helps you cast the flashback. I think this card is capital G great.
Yeah. Also a great from me.
Next up, another potential key to monocolored cards, or monocolored decks rather. Solstice Revelations is 2 and a red for an instant lesson. Exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost if the spell's mana value is less than the number of mountains you control. If you don't cast that card this way, put it into your hand, and it has flashback for 6 and a red. So again, a cool instant to be able to use your firebended mana on. But also, maybe you just play this in your mono red deck? The problem is that some amount of the time, let's say it's the in your mono red deck even, 25% of the time, you're going to flip something that's 4 mana value or more when you cast this on turn 3.
And sure, that's really you're going to put it into your hand.
That's really bad. 3 mana draw a card is really bad.
It's a lesson. It's going to trigger your prowess stuff.
Okay. Can you just... Okay. All right. No card is bad. They're all beautiful snowflakes. I'm going to say garbage on Solstice Revelations.
I'm going great. I love Solstice Revelations.
The other thing that's really bad is like 7 mana, play a 2-drop. Like this just isn't, I just don't think this is that good.
But it might be free. You'll be able to pitch it into the graveyard. It's a place to dump your firebending mana. This card is, I agree, this card at face value is not great. But again, it's another one where in the right home, I think you can make it great, and I think a lot of cards from this format seem like they're asking you to do things like that, which makes me excited for the format and also makes me think this has a home where it will be great.
Okay.
Next up, we've got Cave of Two Lovers. This is 3 and a red for an uncommon saga. Chapter 1, create 2/1/1 white ally creature tokens. Chapter 2, search your library for a mountain or cave card, reveal it, put it into your hand. Chapter 3, Earthbend 3.
This card seems great to me. What's not to like?
Does it? That's my question. Is this, it's a lot of things. Is any of it really good? And is it good enough on delay? Like, are you, you're unhappy paying 4 mana for 2/1/1s. You may or may not need the mountain, but I mean, it's nice to hit your land drop, but then Earthbend 3 at the end, I guess it's good, right? It's just good.
This is good. I think we would be tricking ourselves like we've tricked ourselves in the past about sagas of like, you have to wait a few turns. Like, this is 4 mana for 2/1/1s and a 3/3 and a land. That is a lot of value. And
a lot of stuff for one card.
I don't think it matters that you're getting it over 3 turns. Because the flip side of Earthbend 3 on chapter 3 instead of chapter 1 is all your lands are untapped.
Correct.
Yeah. So you're going to get to use that 3/3 that turn.
You're right. This card's great.
I think this card's great. Next up is Zuko, Exiled Prince. 3 and a red for a 4/3. Firebending 3. And it has an activation of 3 mana. Exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. I'm less jazzed about this, I think, than the 2 red-red. Or the firebending red-red that makes a clue. Like, I like that more. I like just straight up drawing a card versus exile the top card, and I may play that this turn.
I agree. This one's, but this also has wider applications with the Firebending 3 as other places to put your mana potentially. I mean, they're very similar cards.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I have to say, I guess I'll say garbage.
That's what I'm going to say too. It's very borderline, though. Very borderline.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Leaves from the Vine, which is 1 and a green for an uncommon saga. Chapter 1, you mill 3 cards, create a food. Chapter 2, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures you control. Chapter 3, draw a card if there's a creature or lesson card in your graveyard.
I do not like this card. And I'll tell you, and the reason I don't like this card is Chapter 2. If Chapter 2 were like, make a 1/1, I would be thrilled with this card. But my problem with chapter two being put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to two target creatures you control is one that, like, it implies that I, everything else about this card is like, feels defensive to me, like long game, like mill three, make a food, draw a card, have lessons in your graveyard. And then there's this like, and you have creatures on the board that you want to get bigger. And I can't play this on turn two. Because I'm probably not going to have a creature in play.
That's like it's, but it's a lot of stuff. I do agree that this is definitely worse than the red one. It's close. The time it's like a double spell card on turn five or six or whatever. But by then, I do think it's kind of slow. But I also could see worlds where like you're pretty unhappy when your opponent casts this card. Like if they're stable and then they cast this card, it is not good for you.
No, but that's, you can be, that can be said about a lot of cards.
Yeah.
If you're stable and you cast a spell, I'm going garbage on Leaves from the Vine.
I think that's also where I'm going to land.
Unlucky Cabbage Merchant is up next. What's this card?
This is one and a green for a 2/2 uncommon human citizen. When this creature enters, create a food token. Whenever you sacrifice a food, you may search your library for basic land card, put it on the battlefield tapped. If you search your library this way, put this creature on the bottom of its owner's library, then shuffle. This is like a running joke in the show where this guy just shows up everywhere the gang is and his cabbage cart always gets destroyed. This is a very cool, flavorful top-down design for the show.
I also really like this card.
Yeah, two mana, like, 2/2, yeah. Rectangles, mm-hmm. And then opportunity to ramp or fix if you want, chance to draw it again, run it back. I think this card is great.
Yeah. Very great. Oh my god, two rectangles for blue-green waterbending.
Yeah.
Let's go. Fire Nation Warship is 3 mana for a 4/4 artifact vehicle. It has reach. It says when it dies, you make a clue, and it has crew 2. So 3 mana, 4/4, reach, crew 2. When it dies, make a clue.
I know we don't like vehicles. This one seems like it might be good enough. Like, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, crew 2, yeah, it's probably pretty good. This is probably just great. And it's colorless. Like,
but how good is it?
I don't know.
It's interesting. Like, I think you're always taking Lightning Strike over it, pack one, pick one, or something.
Sure. But, like, yeah, I guess it's interesting because I feel like limited card evaluation has sort of shifted in our podcasting lifetime in terms of, or in early days, you would see a card like this and you'd be like, well, you can just like, this goes in any deck and it's going to be, so like it automatically like bumps its pick order or bumps its place in your pick order. But I don't know if that's the case these days when like decks are so juiced and cards are so good and in the play booster era. But I am thinking about the applications of like, obviously vehicles are places your tapped creatures can go. It making two body or two rectangles, like it dying into a clue, is good for things that care about waterbending. It's good for your black white sacrifice deck. Like, it's also a 3-mana 4/4 reach that is big.
That's what it seems hard to attack through. I think it is just great.
Yeah, I think this might just be great.
Next up, we've got Flexible Waterbender. This is 3 and a blue for a 2/5 common with vigilance. And it's got Waterbend 3. This creature has base power and toughness 5/2 until end of turn.
My stag, my beloved, you're back.
It's back.
So the joke here is it's a 4-mana 2/5 vigilance. You can attack with it. And then if they don't block, you could tap this and two other things or tap this and 2 mana to make it a 5/2.
I mean, are you ready to call it great?
Best common. Why isn't this in top common watch, you know?
Better than Sipsic Appraiser.
This card is not good. I'm going to say it. I mean, I don't like, it's as good as Wishcoin Crab is going to be, as good as 4-mana 2/5 vigilance is going to be. And I just don't, I think the age of Wishcoin Crab has passed.
But, but
yes,
vigilance, waterbending.
I mean, both of those are words on this card. Yes.
I think it's pretty good.
This can't be pretty good. It can't be.
It can't be?
I don't think so.
I kind of want to say great.
Okay. I mean, you are allowed to do so.
I think I'm going to go great for the content.
Oh my God, this next card is actually great.
Yeah. This card also probably just should have just been on the top common
alert. Top commons, yeah.
Yeah. It was one in a blue for common, 1/3. Forecasting Fortune Teller is the name. And when it enters, you create a clue token. This looks insane.
Thraben Inspector, one more mana, one more toughness.
Yeah, and like two things for waterbending for the blue decks.
No, I'm in. Sign me up. That has top common written all over it. Cunning Maneuver is next. This is one and a red for an instant. Target creature gets +3/+1 until end of turn. Create a clue token. Okay.
I know. But I'm also attracted to this card. The conversation I want to have with you is, are we just bad at aggro? Like, does an aggro player look at this and do they just wish that this card says like +3/+1 and trample? Is that better than this? Because I'm much more attracted to this card than I am a card that says target creature gets +3/+1 against trample or +3/+2 in trample. I think those cards are better for aggro. And that makes me wonder, is this card good?
Well, we've seen, what was it? I thought it was like Blazing Crescendo was like this, except it had the red. Instead of make a clue, it was the like exile the top card. You can play it until the end of your next turn or whatever. And this is way better than that. Making a clue is better than that, I think.
But it's worse than Majestic Metamorphosis or things like that. Those type of tricks that turn it into a 4/4 draw card. But those were one more mana also.
Okay, to answer the question of are we bad at aggro, I'll speak for myself and say yes. But I resent you asking this question in a public forum. But I think this card is just good.
That's my instinct as well, but I kind of feel like that's the wrong instinct.
Well, again, let us know in the comments, folks. Are we bad at aggro?
That's going to be a resounding yes from our listeners.
With love and respect, yes. Last on the list is Turtle Duck, which is single green for an 0/4. Creature type, Turtle Bird, wah wah. Single green 0/4.
I like how you got really invested in journey after the first one.
I did. And I think we got there on the rule of three, maybe. Maybe I went to four. But okay, single green 0/4 and has an activated ability, 3 mana. Until end of turn, this creature has base power 4 and gains trample. This is bad, except.
But
firebending.
I know. Firebending's kind of like red-green firebending. Red-green cares about creatures power 4 or greater.
I think as a gruel gold card, you could sell me on it.
Well, there's also this weird thing, too, where like early in the game-ish, like it's going to be able to attack with threat of activation and people aren't going to be able to block. Whether or not you want to spend 3 to push 4 damage, probably not, but...
Right, but then there's no threat. That's the thing about threat.
There has to be a threat. There has to be a threat. Touche. Am I wrong to like this card? I like this card.
It sounds like you said great to every card on this list. Did you know every card?
No.
Okay. Are you wrong to like this card? I don't want to say you're wrong. I don't like this card. Historically, this kind of card is not good. The one drop with no power that has a hefty activation. Now, this is not that hefty. This is not that hefty.
That's what's intriguing about it.
And we have something in the format that cares about or that produces extra mana that you can use specifically for this. So I think that makes this intriguing. Also, it's a one mana thing on the battlefield for waterbending. So that's also intriguing. You're not wrong to like this. Great seems like a...
That's the game, though.
I know. That's why I'm saying. I like this feels like on the 0 to 10, 0 is garbage, 10 is great.
This is like a 4?
This feels like a 4. Like a generous 4 to me. So then... Or even if I think it's a generous 6, I don't know. Like, is that enough for me to go... Then it's automatically round up to 10? I'm not sure.
I'm going to go great. I'm doing it.
Going garbage on the Turtle Duck. Good list. Good list of great cards. I'm excited to see what the comments have to say for us.
It's going to be all your bad at aggro. But really letting loose since we invited it.
Any thoughts? Anything you're on the lookout for in the next week of previews that you're like, I would like to see this kind of thing to glue together some stuff? I'm looking for tokens.
I feel like the pieces are all here. I mean, Earthbending is tokeny. Like, that's going to give you creatures to go wide with, right? When you animate your lands, that's going to give you plus creatures for green-white.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that as, like, maybe they're not going to be making tokens. Maybe they're going to just be saying late in the game, once you've deployed your spells, your lands are your go-wide.
Your go-wide army.
Okay. The bleed so far is the most intriguing thing to me. I feel like the overlap of archetypes is cool, and seeing what cards are going to be. It feels like this is going to be a set. And maybe this is will be a preview for one of my format truths for next week. Feels like this is going to be a set where identifying like the cards' homes is going to be really important. Like, this is a blue-green, this is a blue card, but it's really a blue-green gold card. Or it's a blue-green card best, blue-red card second best, doesn't go in blue-black or blue-white. Feels like one of those sets to me so far.
Yeah, I there are definitely cards that want to go in homes for sure. I'm cautiously optimistic. I just want to see more cards. Nothing specific. I'm not like, ooh, I need this to make this thing work. I just want to see more cards because I like what I'm the like, you know, we're starting to weave a tapestry or whatever to get into our survivor tribal analogies.
Yeah.
Starting to weave a tapestry. I like what I see so far. Like, the tapestry is incomplete. I just want to see what the full picture is going to be.
Yeah. I also hadn't quite realized that Earthbend can also be used in the black-white sacrifice thing, because you can sacrifice that land and then come back.
Yeah.
Comes back. It's not the worst. Yeah. A lot of overlap. Excited about that. Feels like a fun puzzle that will play out over some weeks of like, oh, and did you see that this card interacts here in this space? Like, it seems like this format is going to be ripe for that.
Yeah. A little more meat on the bone than Spider-Man.
Sorry, Peter.
And on that place, we will wrap it up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all our content at lordsoflimited.com. We've got links to our episode backlog, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, our Patreon page, if you want to check that out. All of that is available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later. We'll be right back.